Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, October 12th. I'm Ray Graff. Rich Guthrie is here to talk birds on the program today, which is a bit of a pity as it's about cabbages today, actually. We had such a successful cabbage show a couple of weeks ago, we thought we would talk about fermenting. All right, you know what, Rich? You're looking at me funny. We'll do the bird show after all. Rich is here. He's an experienced birder. You know him well from these airwaves. He makes bird sounds on occasions, much to my great amusement. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Maybe you've seen a bird. Maybe you've heard about birds. We would love to hear from you. 800-348-2551. You can also email the program voxpop@wamc.org. To be clear, no cabbages today, just birds after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm your host, Ray Graff. We discuss birds every month or so on this program, and Rich Guthrie is the main man to talk about birds, and he is here in Studio A to answer your questions. A veteran birder, a former NCON specialist, a compiler of the Catskill New York Christmas Bird Count for the National Audubon Society, Rich is the expert. He's the avian expert here. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program voxpop@wamc.org. I'll be checking the email myself. I'll do the best I can, voxpop@wamc.org. Or, once again, the number to call on the call-in show is 800-348-2551. Rich Guthrie, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here. Thank you, Ray.
So what do you know about cabbages? No, you don't want to do the cabbage.
Coleslaw.
Yeah, wow. We did a show about fermented cabbage. It was quite popular.
I bet you.
Yeah.
Add hot dogs, a little mustard,
well,
to keep
you
going.
See, Rich, now you do know something about this. So before we start here, I wanted to, this is actually an interesting thing that you may want to talk about. This is an email from Terry in Bennington, Vermont. It says, hi, Rich. To you.
Hello.
Hawk migration is ongoing. There are watch sites throughout North America, putting in a plug for Putney Mountain in nearby Putney, Vermont. We have someone up there watching from September 1st through the second weekend in November, barring a downpour or snowstorm. Although the big push of broadwing hawks, we talked about this last month, has passed. There are other species heading south, redtails, turkey vultures, eagles, falcons. The best time to see hawks is the day after a weather front passes. And, you know, the fall color is gorgeous. Terry wanted to put in a plug for that.
Hey, well, that's a great idea. And, yes, it's the greatest show on earth. Well, around there someplace.
I don't know. I mean, the whole election is pretty exciting, too,
yeah,
right?
Well, hey, we could go there now.
We've got some bird brains. I'll tell you that. Let's just leave that alone.
Yeah, okay. No, the hawk migration, right on, Terry. And you can go to the various hawk migration information websites. Google that, and you'll come up with the various locations. Putney, Vermont, Mount Tom in Massachusetts.
I guess there's a hawk watch site, according to Terry.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
And what they do is they take tallies, as you say, all across North America, right on down into Mexico. Tracking the movements and the numbers of these hawks as they go by. It's a good idea, you know, year to year to see what species are doing well, what species may be suffering some sort of a decline, because it's all relative. It's all comparative numbers. It's not absolute. You can't ever do that. But you got a good picture of what's happening. In the Hook Mountain down along the Hudson Valley or down at the Connecticut shore in Greenwich, Connecticut, Greenwich Audubon. Lots of places, in fact, some of these places, you get some real opportunity to study the different kinds of hawks and eagles and falcons that go through.
So how many eagles are going through, say, in Putney, Vermont? Golden eagles? What kind of eagles?
Yeah, golden eagles are a real possibility. The best place for golden eagles, by far, is in Oneonta, New York.
Why?
Franklin Mountain. Why is a good question.
Oneonta?
Oneonta.
It's a great place.
It is. For golden eagles. And not yet. Right now, the broadwing hawks have pretty well peaked, and we're only getting the few late laggards going by, but the red-tailed hawks and the excipiters, such as Cooper's hawks and sharp-shinned hawk, and perhaps the hard-to-see any time outside of migration is the northern goshawk. Magnificent, huge hawk, powerful bird. It's all muscle in the air. And vultures, a turkey vulture, and now lately the black vultures that'll be new to the area, having moved up from the south. But you know, it's a funny thing, black vultures tend to stick around more so than the turkey vultures do. The turkey vultures have this traditional migration out of the area. Black vultures tend to stick around right on through the winter in favorable locations, like down in New Paltz, New York.
Are black vultures a little smaller than the turkey vultures?
Yeah, they are.
I think I saw some in right outside of Albany, Delmar.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's one of those mysteries, ongoing mysteries out there. They have moved in. Back in the day, you never expect to see a black vulture in this area. They're strictly southern. Now they're here. And when they moved in like lock, stock, and barrel. Hello there. Now they're our new neighbors.
Very interesting. You know, I find it fascinating. You say Oneonta is a great spot for golden eagles mm-hmm. in a couple of weeks. Why? What, is it the food? Is it the microclimate? Why? Or is it just sort of habit?
Physiography. It's the composition of whatever funneling effect the hills and mountains and valleys have on their migration pattern. You know, when it first started decades ago, when Franklin, the Franklin Mountain down right. there in Hawkeye, when they started reporting these huge numbers of golden eagles, way beyond the norm. We'd be excited to see one or two. They were reporting 101, 102, 120.
Now?
120.
No, how long ago?
Oh, well, since they started serious watching down there at Franklin Mountain. And back in the day, we were saying, well, it can't be. You know, this is somebody's got their clicker off. And turns out, yeah, it's happening. So, and they don't start moving really until about mid-November, those brutal cold. And as Terry says, you wait for a day when you have a frontal, a cold front coming in from the north. And these hawks are taking advantage of that tailwind, the northwest wind that pushes them, that gives them that boost and pushes them south.
No, but my question about Oneonta and how long ago they started saying, oh, God, there's a lot of these here.
Mm-hmm.
Decades? How long?
I would say back in the mid-80s.
Okay.
We started looking at numbers coming out of down there. And thanks to Tom Sallow and the other observers in Oneonta, it was an incredible, like, eye-opener. And I'm sure it's been going on for a long time.
Well, that was my point. They've yeah. counted birds for a long time, and they didn't yeah. notice this in, say, 60 years ago?
Maybe. I would say, you know, there's where historical records would come in handy.
Yeah.
And I suspect something like this, not of the same scale, because like the bald eagle, the golden eagle has something of a resurgence in their population.
Yeah.
And also probably a population shift. They're typically a Rocky Mountain bird mm-hmm. With a few that have always nested up in Canada, up in the Laurentian Mountains of Canada and even the Adirondacks of New York. But over time, those numbers have diminished.
Yeah.
Then with the ban of the DDT, which may not have a direct effect on the golden eagle populations, but something happened.
Interesting.
I think a combination of two things. Observers were finding out where these guys were. I mean, who would look in, you know, the Schoharie Valley for golden eagles?
It's very nice there. What are you talking about?
Of course it's very nice.
Hello to our listeners in the Schoharie Valley.
Yeah, you live in lovely country.
That's good.
But then where are these eagles going to after they pass by Franklin Mountain? Still a good question. West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, someplace.
Rich Guthrie is our guest. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. We'll jump on the phone here in a moment. This one came in via email from Jim in Montgomery. Has Rich ever seen two stranger birds than the ones running for president this year?
Hey, that's a political comment.
Well, let's go in that direction. No, let's not.
Okay, fair enough. Well, let's go to the phones then, and we'll go to Bob in Albany. Bob, you're on.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask Rich if there's anywhere close by here to the Capital District where anyone could go to see, like, snow geese migration, short of going up to, like, Dead Creek Wildlife Area in Addison, Vermont.
Good question. Almost anywhere. And I want to get back to the Schoharie Valley, Bob.
Okay.
Yes, Schoharie Valley. During a proper – when snow geese are these really beautiful snow-white geese with jet black wingtips and that migrate through the area. They come down from the Arctic and keep on going. They winter down in the Chesapeake Bay, Delaware Bay area, and beyond. So they're just passing through. Right about now, as a matter of fact. You get a good northwest wind and look up in the sky, and you might see hundreds of snow geese going by. The thing about snow geese, though, is that they are high altitude migrants, mm-hmm. And rarely, if ever, slow down, stop, and hang out.
Have to stop somewhere, right?
Well, they do, but they have these traditional staging areas. Like Dead Creek Moss up in Addison, uh-huh. Vermont, is one of their prime stopover spots. Fortescue, Fortescue, New Jersey, yeah. is another traditional stopover spot. There's another place just north of Quebec in Canada. Aside from that, these guys are usually on their way, and they don't bother. But weather can sometimes bring them down, and as luck would have it, and I've seen thousands of snow geese in a cornfield over in Columbia County, yeah. for example. And if you were to go around the farm fields of Columbia County on an October day, you might, later October, towards closer to Halloween, but the good chance that's a good it's a place to go look for them. Or the Schoharie Valley behind the village of Schoharie.
Okay, okay. Right. One more, just quick, because I think you might have mentioned this last year. Somewhere up in Helderberg, the Thatcher Parks, to see what you guys were discussing earlier, the hawk migration?
Yes.
It's too late, though, right?
No.
No?
No. Still going on up there. Go to the overlook at Thatcher Park. And okay. on weekends, there's probably one or two people who are maintaining that hawk watch station up there, reporting their data to the Hawk Migration Association.
Now, when the geese go, thanks, Bob. When the geese go over high above us, is it the typical, stereotypical V?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the kind of day that they like to move is a day like today. Nice, clear blue sky. And good luck to even see them. They're so high up, and they blend in with that, oh, I don't know, little specks in the sky. But the pure white blends in with the blue sky. It makes them virtually invisible. But, you know, if you're astute, if you're looking at the right time, not one, not two, not three, not maybe 30 flocks of snow geese will be going by through the course of the day.
All right, we'll take a break here. Rich Guthrie is our guest. We talk birds, every month or so. And today is the day, aren't you lucky? We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from The Whistling Kettle, helping to promote tea culture in the capital region with over 150 teas and menu of sweet and savory selections. TheWhistlingKettle.com for live chat. Northeast Solar in Hatfield, Massachusetts, helping Pioneer Valley residents live more sustainably with solar power for home, business, or farm. Keep solar local, northeast-solar.com. Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig. A worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. The Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley. Lathrop.Kendall.org. And the University at Albany Theater Program, working to train the next generation of performers, designers, technicians, playwrights, and stage managers. Albany.edu/theater.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Rich Guthrie also here. He is our bird expert. The number to call is 800-348-2551, and we'll get back to the phones in a moment. But, Rich, you have some events you want to tell us about.
Well, thanks. What I'd like to do is promote some of the bird club activities in the area.
Sure.
This is a time to get out, to enjoy the fall weather and the company of other birders. Let me start with our own local Hudson Mohawk Bird Club.
Okay.
On October 22nd, they'll be doing a trip to Collins Lake in Schenectady, Scotia, New York.
Yeah.
A good chance to get out there. They will also do, that's October 22nd. And then on November 5th, Tom Hanek Reservoir. And for information about that, I will go into that here, but go to their website, hmbc.net, HudsonMohawkBirdClub.net.
Okay.
Downstate in Orange County, the Mearns Bird Club, M-E-A-R-N-S. On Sunday, the October 16th, they're going to Winding Waters Trail, mearnsbirdclub.org.
Okay.
Also on October 22nd, they'll be going to the Storm King Art Center.
Ooh.
And free entry to the Storm King Art Center. Look at birds, watch the beautiful fall foliage,
lovely,
and also check out the artworks. Waterman Bird Club down in Dutchess County, New York, on Saturday will be going to Southland Farms at 9 o'clock in the morning. On October 19th, which is a Wednesday, Tymor Forest, T-Y-M-O-R, Forest. And then on October 29th, a Saturday, to Vassar Farms. For them, you go to watermanbirdclub.org.
Okay.
Alan DeVoe Bird Club, Saturday the 16th, Claverick Rail Trail. That's at 8 o'clock in the morning, alandevoebirdclub.org, all one word.
Okay.
And then the John Burroughs Natural History Society in Ulster County, New York, 9 o'clock on Saturday the 23rd, they'll be going to Franny Reese State Park.
No, there is such a state park as Franny Reese State Park?
You know, I've never been there.
No.
But I am tempted to go on October 23rd to find out what that's all about.
Franny
and they're
Reese
a good
was.
Group of people.
Okay.
The JBNHS, that's John Burroughs Natural History Society, JBNHS.org.
Fine.
I try to get it straight.
That's all right. Good.
Oh, and one other thing. Tomorrow night, October 13th, me, myself, and I, I'll be doing a program about the Cuban birds, the birds of Cuba.
Okay.
At the Orange County Community College, Orange Hall Gallery, at 7 p.m. Down in Middletown, New York.
Now, this is the famous floor show you have been working on for several months, and now
birds
you've really honed it.
I've got it down now.
Yeah.
And let me tell you.
You sing some songs and whatnot?
Cuban music? We have
music?
Some beautiful Cuban music,
yeah?
Let me tell you.
Great.
It's an art form.
You bring rum?
We talk about it.
Yeah,
no, we don't.
You don't
it's
bring
a,
rum?
No,
I'm not,
it's
I'm
a
not
smoke-free,
going.
Alcohol-free campus.
Fine.
We're going to. But however, we'll know about it.
All right. Well, we do know about it. Let's go to Bob in Holyoke. Bob, you're on with Rich Guthrie.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was curious to see if you could recognize what I think is a bird sound that I've been hearing in our neighborhood, and it's very simple. It just goes.
Oh, I know what you got.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Chipmunk.
Really?
Chipmunk. It fools me every time, darn near.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to, and it's a persistent. And that's how they get their name. It's a little more musical than your TikTok sound, but they're out there. And usually what happens is that they increase in tempo over a little bit of time, and they sit in one spot. They don't move around.
Well, we certainly got a lot of them.
Good job, though, Bob.
Okay.
Thanks,
Bob.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. It's 800-348-2551 on this Vox Pop Birding Edition with Rich Guthrie. Patricia in Red Hook is on. Hi, Patricia.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a downy woodpecker living in my yard. She's beautiful. But she's taken to pecking holes in my house.
Oh,
I have
boy.
A wood-sided house, and she's going after the shutters and various parts of the wall. And even when I go out and, like, yell and wave my arms, she just sits in the tree and looks at me. So I'm wondering if you have any ideas about, you know, how I can sort of frighten her away without doing her any harm.
Okay. Not easy.
Not easy?
Yeah, and let me just say that woodpeckers are not want to waste time and energy. So whatever's got this downy woodpecker's attention is what's causing the issue. And I would attempt to address that. And it ain't nice. Usually what they're drilling into wood for is food. So
this is not the mating call, just making enough racket to say, hey, here I am.
You're a good question, Ray. And now the answer is no, not especially in October. And it's the male that does that, what's known as drumming.
Yeah.
So the females, they don't, as far as I know, they don't go engage in this drumming business.
I see.
So I would suggest, or the other possibility is that chickadees and titmice and nuthatches will catch food into crevices. And woodpeckers have found out about this, and they like to follow those little guys and see what they can dig out from where they have stored food away, usually sunflower seeds and the like. So
how did they find out? Newsletters?
It's on the internet.
They're
pretty astute. They keep an eye out for what looks like a good deal.
Yeah.
This is why different bird feeders have different success rates, and sometimes you'll find a silly bird trying to get into, let's say, a hummingbird feeder, and because they see, hey, looks good to me. They must like it. Must be good.
Yeah.
And no, it don't work for them. So those are the two possibilities. I'm sorry to say, Patricia. Aside from that, if it's a particular spot, you can cover it over maybe with some burlap. Tack on some burlap with a staple gun for the time being until they get discouraged and go away. But not thinking so.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Patricia. This one came in. You mentioned hummingbirds. This one came in from Scott in Boston Spa. Have the hummingbirds all moved on? Should I bring the feeders in? Will migrating hummers stop for a drink on their way south, or are they done?
I'm sure glad you asked that. The answer to that is no, of course not. Don't leave those hummingbird feeders out.
Yeah.
This is the time of year when bird watchers and homeowners and garden keepers get all excited. The rare hummingbirds may be coming through now. And if you got the hummingbird feeder there, you might get them to slow down and stay for a little while, get a glimpse of them. And you might find the rufous hummingbird, which is from the Rocky Mountains, or the calliope hummingbird from the Pacific Northwest, or some of them from as far away, that have turned the wrong direction and moved northeast rather than southwest.
Now, there was a program we did a few months ago, and someone said, I saw a hummingbird
that
was
big hummingbird.
Huge.
Yeah.
What happened with that?
Nothing. I mean, we tried. This was the lady was very convincing,
yes,
in the description, and I believe every word of it, that she did indeed have a wonderful big, one of these southern hummingbirds from the tropics.
Yeah.
Showing up at her bird feeder.
It wouldn't have been a pet that got loose.
No. Although, some people are thinking that maybe some of these things come in on a shipment of flowers.
Yeah.
Got somehow caught up in that truckload, that plane load of flowers from Venezuela or what have you. That's a possibility. But nonetheless, no, that went away. Nothing more
on that. Rich Guthrie is our guest. We go to Lisa in Enfield. Lisa, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about an active pigeon nest. This summer we went to Hampton Beach and had a balcony on the fourth floor on the ocean. And we were renting, and the owners put a note saying, please do not disturb the nest. And they had the furniture set up so that we could still use the balcony, but the nest was still being used. The mommy or the daddy would be nesting. One would take off for a while, then relieve the other one. We tried not to disturb them, and kind of carried on our vacation as we did. We went to Kittery one day, came back, and the babies were dead.
Oh.
And neither parents were around.
Hmm.
So I chose not to disturb the nest. The nest was just of kelp, dried kelp, and it was on a deck. The new decking that... it's not wood. It's almost like a plastic.
Yes.
Like a composite.
One that I thought would. Yes, thank you. And I wondered if they just, God forbid, burned to death because of the heat from the deck.
Very good possibility, which is really unfortunate. And that happens sometimes. On, for example, bridge girders. Where some birds will nest on a, let's say, a steel girder on a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And the summer, early in the season, it's not so bad. But when that summer sun gets up there, that's a possibility, unfortunately. And, I think you have a good possible theory there. Go ahead.
I have a follow-up on that because since we didn't disturb the nest, we were pretty bummed because you get attached to these things when you're in proximity. So we went out on the beach, came back, and the birds were gone. And I was baffled because I didn't know if a seagull would swoop down and get these birds, or if the mom and dad clear their nest of the dead.
Not likely. No,
it was bizarre. I still cannot figure it out. I even asked my vet, who is an expert in wild birds, and I just can't get over where they could have gone.
Well,
and
I would think that
later in the night, there was a swarm of, I say a swarm, maybe 5 or 7 pigeons that kept flying by, and I was getting a little, you know, nervous. But it was odd. It was so very odd.
Well, I would think that a passing scavenger might have seized the opportunity. Without the adult birds to fend them off, they just swooped in, a passing crow or the like, being that high up. So,
well, Lisa, thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Over to Kurt. Hello, Kurt in Albany. You're on.
Hi. I was calling Rich because 3 days ago I looked up my paper in Washington Park, Albany, over by Moses, and saw a ringneck pheasant.
A pheasant.
15 feet away.
Yeah.
About 15 feet away from me.
Interesting.
And there, it looked very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fly away from me. When he noticed me, he, as they will, I guess, walked away from me. And when I looked up on the internet, I discovered he was a candidate for city bird in Detroit. So I guess the urbanization of pheasants is not unheard of. And I just wondered if you had any experience or what your comments were.
Well, not citified pheasants, not likely. And I was not aware of Detroit's interest in pheasants. Somebody let it go, which is why it wasn't so afraid of you. It's been around people before, and it probably outgrew its comfort zone with the whoever raised it from a chick, and I just brought it to a park and threw it out the window.
Oh.
So the thing is on its own, and good luck to it, because in a city setting, they probably not do well with roaming dogs and the like. So I wouldn't, I don't hold much hope for it. But, you know, you could always go out there and put some cracked corn out, which might do them well. And I know that, for example, there was a turkey that lived in Lower Manhattan at Battery Park in Manhattan for years and just somehow managed to avoid getting run over by fast-moving taxi cabs and getting chased by noisy kids. And but in Battery Park in New York City, a pheasant lived for a long, long time. So they can do well, you know. So good luck with that.
Well, Kurt, thank you very much for the call. Over to Terry in Fort Edward. Terry, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Rich. I had a question, actually, going back to your golden eagle migration. I've seen the birds down at Stissing Mountain, as we all have. Do you have any handles on that phenomenon where certain golden eagles will settle in someplace for the winter, and do you have any other locations where these guys might be?
Okay, good question. Now, I'm glad you mentioned the Stissing Mountain. I claim to those two birds down there. Way back long ago, I happened upon two immature golden eagles right there at Thompson's Pond, Stissing Mountain, near Pine Plains in Dutchess County. Mm. And those two birds kept coming back year after year after year, a good 15 or 20 years. And then their progeny, apparently, were coming back as well. And this is a peculiar phenomenon with not only golden eagles, but many different bird species that are have a very strong site fidelity, not only for nesting areas, but also for wintering areas, as well as migration routes. So those Stissing Mountain golden eagles are just an example of that. I don't know of any other reliable locations for golden eagles such as that. That was an interesting but rather unique opportunity. So
Well, I've seen them, and do you know whether or not they leave and nest somewhere up north?
Oh, they do.
They return?
Yeah. A few years after they first arrived down there at Dutchess County, they did attempt to nest. And a lot of this happens fairly often with eagles, especially, where they'll play house. They'll build a dummy nest and really just go through the motions, but not seriously. And then move on up to Quebec, where they probably built a real nest and had real eagle babies.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I got one more little question for you, Rich. For some of us experienced birders, have you ever tried to pick out some cackling geese in some of these huge skeins of Canada's that come down?
Cackling?
Maybe something. Yep. You know, Ballard-sized.
Yeah, cackling geese are a real tiny Canada look-alike, Canada goose look-alike. They're almost identical, except for size and a few other subtle features. However, there are small varieties of Canada geese about the same size as a cackling goose. So size in this case is not the clincher. But okay. I have. I've seen them actually from my house in my yard, cackling geese, curiously enough, in a flock of snow geese. But overhead sight reports of cackling geese are not reliably accurate unless there is some real strong documentation, some of the finer details of the species.
Yeah, I kind of figured that much. I'll have to find a flock that's landed in a cornfield somewhere and pick one out.
There
All
you
right.
go.
Well, thanks a lot for the call, Terry. We appreciate it very much. We had an email here from Dell, who said we're talking about the woman who had the woodpeckers pecking at her house.
Yes.
And Dell writes, we had a similar problem and fixed it by putting out suet as a food source about 50 feet away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a possibility?
Sure, alternate food source is a good possibility, but whatever drew them to that shutter or the siding is still there. And so, that may be the problem.
So the birds are the least of the problem in possibly here.
Yes, right.
Rich Guthrie is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. Oh, gosh, Rich, the phone lines are loaded. We'll take a break here, and then we'll be back for the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, a country store since 1923. Offering aged cheddar cheeses, nostalgic candies, New York products and gifts, waterwheelvillage.com. Interim Healthcare, for 45 years, working to help people age in place, companion aides and nurses 7 days a week, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, interimhealthcare.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, qfcc.com. Carrie Haddad Gallery, presenting Inside Outside, a group exhibit, including paintings of drawings of interiors, landscapes, and cityscapes, October 19th through December 4th. Artist reception, October 22nd, 5 to 7 p.m., carriehaddadgallery.com. And Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's a bird show today, and that means Rich Guthrie is in the house. 800-348-2551 is the number. We had a caller during the break who said plastic owl will get rid of the woodpecker.
Nah.
No?
Nah.
You tried that?
No, I've seen it tried. And I've seen birds perch on the head of these plastic owls. You know, it works for maybe like 10 minutes. And they say, well, all right. Another decoy type. But again, it's not the woodpecker that's the problem.
Right. No,
we get
it.
It's only the symptom.
Well, I remember we used to have the owls on the top of the Linda.
I remember that.
Performing arts venue. Never worked.
No, the pigeons love it.
They love it, yeah. Company. All right, we got an email from Jim who said he heard this bird call this morning about 7 a.m.
Okay.
And wants to know what it is. We're going to try a little multimedia presentation here. Maybe it'll work.
High tech. I hear it.
What do you think? Oh, that's a parrot.
No.
No, it's a rooster.
It's a bird. Okay, we got it.
Okay, what do you think?
Carolina wren.
Really?
Yes.
Common around here?
Yeah. Well, yes and no.
Actually, he doesn't
Depends
say
where
he's
at.
Writing from, so
no.
I have no idea.
Okay, but a Carolina wren, as the name suggests, one of those southern birds come north.
Yeah.
A whole phenomenon, and he's part of that parade.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Rich Guthrie is our guest. Tom in Rupert, Vermont. Tom, you're on.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Right. Nice to have you here.
I've got a question about a possible mimic. I'm quite certain it's not a mockingbird. I'm wondering if it might be a catbird. But, you know, it at times will imitate the cardinal, house wren, oven bird, all common birds in the area. But it's high up in a tree that still has its leaves on it, so I haven't been able to get glasses on it.
Really? Yeah. No, not a catbird. If a catbird is one of the mimic thrushes, so-called, related to the mockingbird, but they do a lousy job at this mimicking business. If you could recognize a cardinal and an oven bird out of this imitation song, then it's definitely not a catbird. You know, you can hardly recognize anything from what they make, but they try hard. Okay. I would stick with mockingbird or perhaps even brown thrasher. I'm more curious to know why it's singing this time of year. It's not normal. This is October, and song is all about breeding territory and nesting and what have you. So a little ebullient mockingbird is a theory I'll try to work on.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, hey,
Tom,
well, good luck with that.
We appreciate the call. Over to Mary in Saratoga Springs. Mary, you're on with Rich Guthrie.
Oh, hi, Ray and Rick. I just have an observation to report to you. A Saturday afternoon, I'm watching the birds, and there was that poor cardinal who, as you know, is a ground feeder, struggling to get a seed. Well, the woodpecker was on the feeder. He turned around and fed the cardinal.
Wow. Is that common, Rich?
My goodness. Really?
I've never seen it before.
Well, was this recently?
Last Saturday.
Wow.
He did it twice. He turned around twice because the poor cardinal was struggling to hold on to the sewer tape, and he was trying to reach the feet of
poor. Well, here's what happens. Now, that was a real dedicated parent or mother, wicked woodpecker. And the cardinal, struggling to stay on the feeder, was flapping her wings, his or her wings,
right,
which is what baby birds do when they're hungry. And so that woodpecker saw this fluttering on the part of the cardinal trying to maintain its balance and said, oh, poor hungry bird, here, have this. He's right.
That's interesting.
I said, I was so impressed by that. Well, thank you. Too bad the human beings don't react like that, too.
You
make
a good point.
Try fluttering and see what happens.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Mary, thank you.
So altruism.
Well, just as, you know, yeah, sure.
What's the evolutionary advantage of a bird doing that to another bird of another species?
None.
So what's the point then?
Well, okay, Darwin might say that it reinforces the feeding mechanism of the parent bird.
Hmm.
You know, just like avian play reinforces the hunting mechanism of birds.
I get it. All right.
But I like avian play, and I like altruism.
All right, fair enough. Rich Guthrie is our guest. Maria in Ulster County, you're on.
Okay. I hired some people to wash the outside of my windows, and I've been worried about this. The last time I hired people, at the end of the day, I did work with them, but, you know, they did most of it. I found a dead thrush outside one of the windows, which were now, you know, completely transparent. And that was in September, so I tried to book them as late as possible, hoping that most of the birds would be gone. And I booked them for like the 24th and 25th of October, but now it's supposed to rain, so we moved it up just a few days. But what do you think about how this is a hard question to ask. I don't know what to ask. Are there going to be a lot of birds still around, do you think? Because I look around, and one day we had a bunch of robins. We had a few other birds, but they seem to have gotten – they seem to be gone. I'm by the Ashokan Reservoir, by the way.
Okay.
So,
well, to answer your question is, birds will still be around throughout the year. Mm. The window, the window reflection of the woods is what's drawing the birds in.
No, I know.
And there are some products out there that are still in the tryout stage. It's a huge problem. We lose a lot of birds to window collisions, and I wish there were an easy answer. But right now, I tell you what, homework assignment here.
Okay.
I have to come up with some more specific recommendations. So I keep getting these messages about trial procedures that are being worked on. Most of them have not worked well. You know, the decal of the hawk on the window doesn't work.
Right.
The decal of the eyes on the window. So we're going to have to come up with something on this. And there is some polarized strips of material that you could put on, or ultraviolet strips that you can see right through. Doesn't affect the visibility. That may disrupt the pattern on the window for the bird. So,
all right.
What was the second one you said besides the polarized? I want to write that down.
Ultraviolet. Ultraviolet.
Ultraviolet, like it's a screen or
no,
something?
No, it's like plastic strips with ultraviolet light reflection.
I see.
Well, within
I have tried. I have tried something, and it does sometimes seem to work, which is a spider web with a stabilimente or whatever it's called. It's like a white squiggle in the middle.
Yes, you're right.
And the theory is that they try to avoid that. And that's worked better. I tried the other decals. They didn't work at all.
Right. You're right about that.
The thing is, of course, there are birds. I mean, I know there are birds all around all year. But the ones that seem to fly in the windows are the thrushes and oven birds and vireos and and tanagers. And I left the windows dirty. I just let them get dirty, and it cut down.
Yes, I understand. Details. Yeah. Well,
Will they be gone, the thrushes and the – do you think they'll be gone by the end of October?
Absolutely.
It's done.
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
The sparrows and finches will still be around, so good luck with them.
Maria, thanks a lot for the call. Over to Brett in Poughkeepsie. Brett, you're on.
Hello.
Hello, Brett.
Brett.
Yep, sorry. I was on because I didn't want to have everything being disturbed.
And you were on hold a long time, so thanks for waiting.
Yes, I was. No, of course. I actually have a question for you guys about a cat that we hear literally year-round that sounds like, I don't know if you know what a kitten that is still nursing sounds like.
I forget.
Like that little mew.
Okay, little mew.
Yeah, it literally sounds like a squeak, but because I foster kittens and bottle feed kittens, it's like, you know, even when I don't have them, when I hear this bird, it drives me crazy.
Huh.
Because it wakes me up enough to say, oh, do I feed somebody?
Okay, you know? So it's a bird that sounds like a cat, a nursing cat.
How about cat bird?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Will a cat bird sound like a cat?
That's how they got their name.
Oh.
But it doesn't sound like a little kitty like cat. It sounds more like a big meow cat. Meow.
Yeah, no, this sounds like a small kitten, like a mew.
Huh.
Well,
Yeah, no, even less than that, like almost like a, have you seen like the cheetah call for the kittens?
No.
Do it for
out of my,
like the,
that's sort of into the, out of my field.
Right, you're going to have to do the sound.
It's kind of like a chirp.
Let's hear it.
Literally. Like it sounds like they're chirping.
Oh, Guthrie's got this.
Do? Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go back with chipmunk.
Chipmunk?
Again. Really, again?
Yeah, again.
Okay.
A chipmunk
and
bird or
a
chipmunk?
You do have them.
Chipmunk,
I know
chipmunk.
They're in the yard. So.
A little critter.
Well, there you go, Brett.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they're persistent, and I honestly, I don't recognize baby cat sounds, feeding sounds. So.
Huh.
I should pay more attention, but I'm not around baby
What does
cats.
A cat bird sound like? Do that.
It actually sounds like a cat meow.
Could I hear that, please?
Well, really?
We'll see what we can do. No, I don't do it well.
Rich. You have performance anxiety? What's going on here?
Is it like a meow?
Yeah. There. No, well, close. Yeah. Closer than me.
Good. Now I've lost control of the show.
And that's definitely not what it is. It sounds more like a chirp.
Yeah.
And it's honestly year-round.
Yeah. All right.
Always
we're gonna stick with
the
most likely candidate will be a chipmunk.
Okay. Brett, thanks a lot for the call. That was fun. I love sound effects on the program. Another guy who's been waiting a long time, it's Mark in Rotterdam. You're on.
Hi there.
Hi, Rich. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm new to looking and watching birds in my backyard off of my deck. I'm a businessman. I've been very busy, but I've been trying to spend time away from business, at least on Sunday, and just enjoy life a little bit.
Yeah, commune with nature. Sure.
Correct. as I have a very hectic business. But anyway, I was in my backyard. This was last week. And I started to hear, I can't duplicate it, but it sounds like almost like a bird call, but in a small little peep and very silent. And every time I look, I either see a bluebird or a cardinal. Which one would make that sound?
I would go either one, but the cardinal has a more metallic sound to it, and the bluebird will have a softer sound, almost fitting their nature. The cardinal has a kind of like a peek, 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 and a bluebird will have a softer sound. Go.
No, it was the first call.
Okay, cardinal, a very harsh,
the first call.
Yeah, a very sharp chip, almost like a wet kiss.
Yes, and a question for you. Is it unusual for both to be around this late in the season?
Not a problem. They both live around here year-round, right through the winter. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So even when I have my, because I also have one of those backyard fire pits, so even when I have my grandkids over, there's a chance when we're sitting around the fire to see it late fall, to hear it late fall.
Right on through the winter.
Cool.
Not a
great
problem.
Cool.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for the call.
Mark, you're located where?
Oh, Rotterdam.
Rotterdam.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's right by Scotia and Collins Lake.
Yeah.
This Saturday, the 22nd, the Hudson Mohawk Bird Club.
Yeah.
Take a walk with them, and, you know, that's an opportunity. I think it's 20 seconds of Saturday.
You
but
are
anyway,
such a pro. You just squeeze the plug right in there.
Join them and watch them watch birds.
Guthrie, you're a champion. All right, let's go back to the phones. Mike and Colony. Mike, you're on with Rich Guthrie.
Thank you. Dumb question, but do birds have different species have relative levels of intelligence?
The smartest
bird.
You hear
how clever a crow is and how dumb a turkey is.
Oh, right. Well, none of them are really dumb. If they were that dumb, they wouldn't be around.
Right.
They got to have a lot of street savvy to stay out of the way of trouble.
Sure.
But some of them, it seems as though they have better memory capability and learning capability than others. You know, the parrots with their imitation sounds and the crows with their tools that they are said to use and the like. And I hate to say I think it's
true. Turkey, they couldn't cross a fence. All it had to do was go 20 feet one way or the other.
Right.
Turkey's not that bright, Rich?
No, but turkeys are really smart, but, you know, they just can't think outside the box.
Ah.
And they learn through watching and repetition. Mm. So, you know, if they watched another one go around, you betcha they'll find their way around.
What about the smartest bird that you know of in your personal experience?
Oh, I like the crows.
Yeah?
Because we're buddies, and I think they think on my level.
Okay, well.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Mike, thanks a lot for that call. And quickly over to Nina in Chatham. Nina, you're on.
Hi. I'm going to give you a scenario. I was moving from my house in Livingston. There was no one at the house. I showed up at 8 a.m. with a girlfriend, so two cars and the truck from Habitat for Humanity, and there was a Canadian goose single in the backyard that was staring straight at us as we're unloading furniture, and this bird continued to get closer and closer to the house until it came right up to us, and to me in particular.
Yikes.
And proceeded to follow me around for 2 hours. I would go to the front porch, and it would come around to the front, and if I would go inside, it would honk, 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 and I'd come out, and I'd say, I'm back, and when I would go outside, it would go, like make these really funny, gurgly sounds, and then I'd walk out to the shed because I had things to unload from the shed, and it would waddle behind me and come back, right very hurriedly next to me. And when I would stop and talk with a neighbor, it would come right in between the middle of us and start preening itself and standing on one leg and relaxing. And after 2 hours, I left, and the thing was even running alongside the side of the car.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going?
Yeah, don't leave me. Well, what you found is somebody's pet goose. Somebody raised that thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're good pets.
No, not necessarily.
I've been in a household where they had a pet goose.
Well,
a little nasty, but you know.
A goose is a goose. But somebody raised this thing from an egg. As with so many things, imprinting is what when they open their eyes for the first time and they look up and they see who's standing there, it's, hi, Mom, and you're a mom.
All right. Well, that's where we'll have to leave it. A goose is a goose. Wisdom from Rich Guthrie. Rich, you'll be appearing with your live performance, the Cuba Show, where?
In Orange County Community College in Middletown, New York, tomorrow evening.
And that's a black tie affair?
Only if you, optional.
Okay, optional.
Ties optional. And my apologies to Hoffman Bird Club friends over there in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Yeah. I had to be away for family event, and I apologize for bailing out on that program last
week.
Well,
you get them next time.
I'd love to.
Rich Guthrie, thanks for being here. Support comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts. For over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign-making, and design services from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. Chester Common Table, new restaurant on Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers, and spirits. Outdoor seating, live music weekends, comfortable setting. ChesterCommonTable.com. And Inn at the Spa Little Theater, beginning their 32nd season with Shrek the Musical. Weekends October 15th through 30th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. Thanks to Rich Guthrie. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Colleen O'Connell answered the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Cars with Gordon Fricke. Stand by for news.